Well, back to the climate talks in Lima. The Australian government's demands for more accountability and actions on emissions from developing countries like China and India, as we heard from the minister on AM. And this push from Australia came as our foreign minister, Julie Bishop, also announced yesterday a $200 million four-year commitment from Australia to the Green Climate Fund. And also, Erwin Jackson is deputy CEO of the Climate Institute. He's in Lima for the UN talks. I spoke with him earlier.
Good morning.
Erwin Jackson, how was this announcement of Australia committing $200 million over 4 years to the fund? How was it received in Lima?
Well, Australia's sort of been having diplomatic bullets fired at it all week because it hasn't contributed to the fund. Certainly, I think it's been cautiously welcomed by a lot of countries. But I think the other reaction has been, well, this really demonstrates that with international pressure combined with domestic pressure, that Australia, there are cracks in Australia's what seem to be wall of opposition to effective climate policy. So that's given us some hope. And I think that'll play out very strongly next year when Australia advances its post-2020 target. And there'll be a lot of scrutiny and pressure on them.
Let's go to the targets, because targets and pledges are always the sticking points at meetings like this. If we go to the targets first, the Prime Minister yesterday talked of Australia meeting a 12% 2020 target for reducing emissions. Now, our formal target is 5% by 2020. I presume we're talking off different baselines here. Is the PM changing our target or trying to make a point that we have done as much as some others if we work off the same baselines, which goes to the point Julie Bishop's making, which is we need to standardise the baselines of all these pledges?
Well, regardless of whether it's a baseline of 1990, 2000 or 2005, what really matters is what the atmosphere sees. And if you look at Australia's target on either any of those baselines, it's fairly clear that it's weaker than most other countries who we consider our friends and peers. But the real issue is that, as I said, for the atmosphere season, regardless of what you do with the baseline, there's a certain amount of tons that go into the atmosphere and you can add them up. I mean, if we're going to pay a fair contribution to the agreement and avoid 2 degrees, then we need to be looking at a 40% reduction on a 2000 baseline or a 45% reduction on a 2005 baseline. Anyway, you cut it, that's bigger than the current targets that the government's got on the table.
Yes, but what's important, I suppose, is the targets that everyone agrees to post-2020. As you say, we're talking 2030, 2040. The pledges are key, and there will be many different pledges and commitments before the world heads to Paris at the end of next year. Is there any agreement from Lima on a process for verifying or auditing the commitments, the pledges made at this summit? Because this is a very important point for Australia, isn't it?
It is, and I should clarify that 40 and 45%, I just mentioned, was for 2025, not for 2020. And transparency is absolutely key. Like, you need to have transparency around targets to make sure that countries aren't filling the books. You also needed to make sure that we can add up all the numbers of what everyone's doing and see if we're on track to avoiding 2 degrees, as countries have agreed.
As it's reported, the Australian delegation there has been pushing hard for tighter accountability and transparency measures when it comes to assessing other countries' post-2020 pledges. They want more detailed information provided, a tighter assessment regime. Is the Australian delegation going to win on that? Is there widespread support for that?
Well, there's certainly widespread support for it amongst developed countries and some developing countries. There has been some pushback on China from China and some of the other major emitters around whether we should have an assessment or consultation on the targets next year. So from that point, I think it's what the position the government has taken is not a bad one. We do need transparency, we do need accountability, and if we can get that, we'll be putting pressure on all major emitters to come forward with more ambitious targets, because everyone will see really what they need.
The two Australian ministers there in Lima are being quite bullish in their public comments. The Trade Minister, Andrew Robb, has warned that our government will walk away from a new global deal in Paris in 2015 if major competitors aren't pulling their weight. As he said, if we are not convinced they're doing what they should, it will influence whether we sign up. Outcomes must be comparable. We're not going to get it in the neck and increase our costs for nothing. What do you think of that kind of language?
Well, at the end of the day, you can only use that kind of language if you're pulling your weight yourself. We know that Australia isn't. We're not on track to meet our current commitments to 2020. We haven't seen any clear indication that the government is going to put forward a credible post-2020 target. So before Australia starts throwing stones, it needs to be looking back at home and making sure it's got its own house in order.
The Foreign Minister, Julie Bishop, she's been talking to the representatives from China, and she will tell the summit today, apparently, that the binary definition of developed and developing countries is misleading because and doesn't lead to the best outcomes. As she says, quote, it doesn't matter where the emissions come from, they are all global emissions. And she's putting pressure on China to do more. Is that fair enough?
The Paris Agreement needs to be applicable to all countries. It does need to see a requirement that all countries come forward with nationally determined targets. The risk with it is that all countries aren't different. We can't be comparing ourselves to India. We can't be comparing ourselves to Indonesia. We are a much wealthier country, so therefore there is an expectation on Australia that it pulls its weight, not just on the total amount of emissions it produces, but in terms of its capacity to reduce emissions. When we start throwing China into China, we need to be really careful. Over the next 15 years, on their current commitments, they will build a power sector the size of the United States, completely powered by renewable energy. They're putting in place carbon pricing. Now, if that is business as usual for China, we need to be reevaluating what we ourselves are doing and thinking about taking comparable actions to that if we're going to start throwing stones at other countries.
You're listening to RM Breakfast. Our guest is Erwin Jackson, Deputy CEO of the Climate Institute, joining us from the UN Climate Talks in Lima. Erwin, in terms of what Australia itself is doing, yesterday the Prime Minister promised that any new post-2020 target for Australia would be announced by the middle of next year. He's setting up a new task force within his department to review what other countries are doing, and then Australia will get its position. What sort of pressure is Australia under here? Because countries will be required to justify how their target is fair and equitable, ambitious and consistent with the objective of the Climate Convention, which is to limit global warming to less than 2 degrees.
Well, that's right. And that's the big concern with what the Prime Minister's announced. Like, it's good that we have announced the process, even if it's a bit late. But by just looking at what our major trading partners, we're taking a very narrow view of our national interests. Australia is very vulnerable to the impacts of climate change. It's in our national interest to get an effective and strong global response, which means we need to consider the science when we set our own targets and not just look at what other major trading partners are doing and look at what the Climate Change Authority did. Look at the science, look at the costs of reducing emissions, and then make your judgment.
You're the Deputy CEO of the Climate Institute here in Australia. How do you feel about this task force in charge of this important target decision being located within the Prime Minister's department as against within the Department of Environment?
Well, to be honest, I think that's completely appropriate. The real worry that I have is that we haven't seen any details in terms of reference for how the process is going to be run. Is it going to consider the science? Is it going to consider our national interest in avoiding 2 degrees? Or is it just going to look at the actions of what other countries are doing and come up with a target based on that?
Erwin Jackson, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
My pleasure.
Erwin Jackson is the Deputy CEO of the Climate Institute, joining us there from Lima in Peru.